Like call to order the regular meeting of the Alaska City Council. That's called to order at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, August 27, 2024. I'd like to ask Councilman Nicholson to read our mission statement, please.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. City Clerk, may I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Longo?
Here.
Sir Tungo?
Here.
Mr. Tudikoff?
Here. We do have a quorum. Please join me as ask Councilman Tungo to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. This time I'd like to recognize the visitors in our audience. Please stand and wave at us. We have Ava Braun and Kenna Mitchell from the National Weather Service. Here, one, two, okay. Dave Snyder with the National Tsunami Warning Center, back here in the corner. Welcome. Barrett Salisbury of the Alaska Department of Geophysical Surveys. Welcome. Anthony Piscasio, Alaska Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. There, sorry if I missed your name. Welcome. Bill Lerman, Alaska Permanent Capital Fund. Front here, thank you. And City Attorneys Charles Cassiola and Sam Severin. Those over here, yeah, thank you. Mr. Mike Livingston with APIA Healthy Relations Program. Welcome, Mike. And welcome to all those I may have missed. Thank you for being here this evening and those of you on Zoom. This time, we'll have the Tsunami and Storm Ready Certification Ceremony. I'd like to call on Ms. Avia Braun from the National Weather Service.
Good evening, everyone, City Council members, ladies and gentlemen, citizens of Unalaska. My name is Aviva Braun, and I'm the Warning Coordination Meteorologist with the National Weather Service Forecast Office in Anchorage. On behalf of myself, those here with me, including representatives from the National Tsunami Warning Center, the Alaska Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys, the Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, and my home office, I'm here to congratulate you on your recent recertifications as both tsunami ready and storm ready, to honor your community leadership for reaching these important goals, and to honor this community for its dedication to life and safety. Both of these certifications carry important implications should an incident occur. The Tsunami Ready program helps community leaders and residents better prepare for tsunami impacts and flooding, whereas the Storm Ready program helps communities develop plans to handle all types of extreme weather, from strong winds to winter storms. Tsunami Ready and Storm Ready communities have made a strong commitment to implement the infrastructure and systems needed to save lives and protect property when and where tsunamis occur, and to protect communities from the onslaught of severe weather through advanced planning, education, and awareness. Combined, a community who have reached these certification goals have done a multitude of preparation and mitigation work to help protect a community as much as one can prior to an incident. Please allow me to share a little more about what these programs are. Both Tsunami Ready and Storm Ready certifications are voluntary community recognition plan programs that promote hazard preparedness as an active collaboration among federal, state, and territorial entities with local emergency management agencies, community leadership, and the public. The main goal of these two programs is to improve public safety before, during, and after a tsunami and weather-related emergencies. These certification programs help communities minimize risk through better risk assessment, planning, education, outreach, and warning communications. To be recognized as both Tsunami Ready and Storm Ready, a community must fulfill and perform a number of tasks. Some big ticket items include maintenance of a 24-hour warning point and the support of an emergency operations center's operations, definition of tsunami hazard zones, production and dissemination of evacuation maps, and the installation of evacuation route signs, support of ongoing and sustained public education and outreach, including to schools in tsunami hazard zones, support of redundant and reliable means by which a community can both receive warnings and quickly disseminate warnings and alert the public, development of a formal emergency operations plan and hazard mitigations plan that address natural hazards within its pages, and finally, the practice of hosting annual exercises that test local emergency management capabilities within a response framework. Being recertified means that your community leadership has gone above and beyond to prepare as much as one can before hazard strikes. And it means that they have gone out of their way to educate the community citizens so that you know how to react and be a more prepared, weather-ready, and tsunami-ready community. No one can be absolutely sure that what an incident will entail until it's occurring. However, we can work together to prepare as much as possible beforehand, so that muscle memory is implemented and panic-induced decisions are minimized. Being recertified as both Tsunami Ready and Storm Ready is hard work and should be celebrated. I'd like to take a moment to speak about general preparedness information, specifically about tsunamis, as it is no secret that it is a vulnerability that Unalaska has to endure. Should you hear a siren, please safely make your way to a designated shelter or to high ground. Make sure that you have several ways of receiving information, just as the city does with redundancies. These resources include local NICSL alerts, the local 89.7 FM KUCB radio and TV station, the City of Unalaska, the National Weather Service, and the National Tsunami Warning Center's social media pages, the NOAA Weather Radio, and the FEMA app. If you arm yourself with a multitude of ways of receiving information, you can ensure your family's notification. Lastly, have a go bag. Inside of your bag, you should have water, non-perishable food, medications, clothing, a first aid kit, your cell phone and your charger, and other personal and necessary items. The best thing that we can do ahead of any incident is to learn about our vulnerabilities and try to make up for our weaknesses by arming ourselves with knowledge and preparation. Unalaska's leadership has taken great strides towards becoming a weather-ready and tsunami-ready community. This success is clearly a result of your vision, your leadership, hard work, and commitment to the citizens of Unalaska. And the citizens of Unalaska should take great pride and comfort in having achieved this status. With this, I am proud to present a certificate to your leadership honoring Unalaska's renewed Tsunami Ready and Storm Ready certifications. You have worked hand in hand with the National Weather Service to ensure all goals were met. Congratulations.
Can read this, yes.
So. Okay. This is a certificate of recognition. The City of Unalaska, the City of Unalaska, Alaska is recognized as a tsunami-ready and storm-ready community for improving the timeliness and effectiveness of hazardous weather tsunami warnings for the public through a diligent and proactive approach of increased communication and preparedness. It is signed by me, and it is valid for 4 years. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I want to thank the leadership in our community. We have a very good community. They all work together. They all get together when we have emergencies. We have the Emergency Operations Center that did a great job during the COVID times. And it was a sort of like a tsunami because we were locked in our homes for days, and I want to thank you for recognizing this community and the community for all the work we do here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, thank you very much from the community. As I said, we have a great professional group here in the fire department, emergency response people, and our directors in various positions in the city. When it's needed, they jump right in and do the job. I really appreciate that. Well, thank you again. All right. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, please?
I make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson, seconded by Councilman... Longo, sorry. Haven't seen you in a while. You call your name once. Sorry, I'm sorry. Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. No objection. Motion to approve the minutes, proposed minutes of August 13th, 2024, as presented.
I move to approve minutes of previous meeting, August 13th, 2024.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungo, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. Next, item 8 is the city manager's report. I'll turn this over to the city manager this time.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council. Attached within your packet is my report. Several things to report on. I just would like to say I attended the Coast Guard dinner, which was a rather nice affair, and I learned quite a bit about what their foundation does, and I'm glad that we're supporting them. The IRT training happened in Anchorage rather than in Unalaska. I just was not able to get out here, and everyone had that same problem, so we held it at OC, and we met with the IRT team Monday and Tuesday of last week. I'm looking at a plan being developed by that team for moving forward together. This past week, we had a visit from Senator Murkowski staffers, Mr. Aaron Thiel and Cassidy Homs, legislative aides for the center visited here, and met with quite a few people here in our community as well as staff. We had a wind power team here last week also, and we organized that visit and met down in, at least I had the opportunity to meet with them down in public utilities to look at what our options are and start discussing how to move forward. With kind of preparing a project and looking at what things would be involved so we can bring things to you for your review and consideration. The CEM breakwaters, I have an update. That's number 6 on my report, but I did get an email from Ports Director Peggy McLaughlin stating that she met with the Corps of Engineers and their sole source contract last Friday with a verbal notice to proceed and for pre-construction. for the inspection of the breakwaters, and they expect to hear this week regarding the timing of the inspection, but it's on a fast track. Also, Mattson has signed the lease that Ports in the city and Mattson had been working together on for the laydown yard. This is a contract that we're putting together. It's a 30-year agreement and goes into effect September 1st. And we're talking with the Aleutian Airways regarding their ticket counter space. And there'll be something in front of you all, hopefully on the 10th of September. And I could jump back down to some of the other pertinent. I'm trying to get a little expedition together, and I'm not sure if it's a day or 3 days, but the people that have kind of interested in going out there will help tell me what it's going to be. I really just have never done a project where I've never had any feet or eyes on the project, and I really don't know what's been done, what hasn't been done. I'd like some real data back for us as we continue to assess how we're going to move forward, if we're going to move forward, etc. I think it's going to be the week of the 16th of September. And lastly, tonight, part of the, I think it was a city manager directive G, and we have them here tonight to talk about the investment policy statement. And so I'm pleased to have Bill Lehrman here to talk with all of you tonight about what that is. I hope you had a chance to see the proposal. Nothing for action tonight, of course, but it's definitely something that you've all been waiting for, and I'm glad that it's here tonight. Any questions? I'm happy to answer.
Councilman Bell.
I did have just a question or comment, and I know I talked to you a little bit about the roads and the where all the cuts in the asphalt are from utilities, either from GCI laying fiber or from the city putting in utilities, and getting a time frame on when those are going to get repaired, and hopefully sooner than, you know, possibly next spring.
I'm glad you brought that to my attention, that you're going to bring it up. I don't have an answer for you as of this time, but we will get you one, what our plan is.
Okay. That's of all the things I get input on, you know, working with a lot of the truck drivers and, you know, other people that, you know, make a living driving in this town, it's becoming more of a more of an issue. I would imagine the taxi cabs have the same type of issue. And then the other thing I did have a question on, and it was just a timeline, which I haven't seen yet, and I keep getting asked on this, is bringing up for discussion the change to APV or proposed changes in ordinance for the APVs to allow APVs. I think next council meeting that was scheduled to be in a work session.
We have a tentatively scheduled for the 10th. I think I didn't have a chance to actually get to talk to one of our attorneys here, but the chief did, so I need to convey talk with him and see if we'll be ready, because obviously we have to get everything done in the next week to get it out in time. So I'll see if it's the 10th or if it's the following meeting, but definitely one or the other.
Okay. And then one last one, which I just thought of, and maybe we can follow up on, is there any progress on any of the potential dock projects? Has any of the engineering been, you know, has it been inspected? Is there engineering moving forward? And, any kind of timeline on doing any kind of repairs on there? The city dock is what I'm referring to. I'm sorry.
I don't have a timeline for you on that. I will get you one.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Bell. Councilman Luby.
Yeah, so we've had a lot of visitors over the last couple of months, or actually last month, but and I've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of them, and a lot of the conversation revolved around the renewable energy and our plans for wind and solar and geothermal and all of that. And so it got, you know, just a conversation last night kind of made me think about the whole picture, you know, and so how is it all going to integrate? We still need to use generators. How is everything else going to integrate into our system that we have now? So I just kind of thought maybe we could have some sort of a work session in the future, a little bit about the big picture, and then how each component, you know, how we'll address each component if we're going to, you know, defeat that main source of power. And so I just thought I would just kind of make a comment about that, since I've had a lot of discussion about that lately. And then the other question I had was, so I noticed in the staffing changes that, so we have a grants management coordinator position open. And so I was just curious, is that replacing the GIS administrator because we don't really need that in planning right now? Or are we looking to add a position?
No, we're using the GIS administrator position to fill it with the grant manager, administrator. The planning director has a lot more skills than I ever had in terms of GIS. He spent the 3 years here kind of building all the databases, and he can do both for now. At some point in the future, we may have to look at how that works, but I think he's comfortable right now with the way things are, and we wanted to deploy a grant administrator somewhere. It made most sense to put it there. So we just kind of swapped the position. I brought this up somewhere in last year's budgeting process. It's probably got lost with all the other details, but that's kind of been the plan. Okay. So, and I know they interviewed three people, so there's probably a decision coming out soon.
Great. I think it's a great idea. I think that the city needs a grant manager. And I was just curious if we were looking at adding a position or if it was replacing one for now. So that answers that question. So thank you. Appreciate it. So that's all I had. Thanks.
Thank you, Councilman Newby. Anyone else? Councilman Tungo?
Where are we on the public utilities director recruitment?
We have, I think last time I heard, we have 21 applicants, and they're going through and doing their first screening on them. And I don't, we'll be getting a roster of the top X number of candidates for us to review. We haven't got that yet. And then we will start looking at who we want to interview. What this firm does is they give us a video. We kind of look at them to help us see if that's someone we want to call for an interview or not. We're nowhere near that yet, but it shouldn't be too much longer because the period is either closed or coming to a close soon, the application period.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Anyone, any council member questions for city manager? Hearing none, thank you for your report. Next item is the Councilman Luby.
I'm sorry. I just remembered. I was just curious. We didn't have a financial report for the end for July.
I think it's because at the end. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not sure why we don't have one. Patricia, can you approach the bench, please?
So wouldn't we be reviewing July is what I'm, I guess we would be reviewing.
So we'll have to get you the unaudited version.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. Fine. I don't mind unaudited versions. It gives us a pretty. Okay.
I'll get you a more succinct answer that we can read and hear.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Luby, anyone else? Council, question? Hearing none, we'll move on. Next item is a community input and announcements. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name.
Hello, Council, Mayor and Council. I'm Roger Blakely, PCR Director. I have a couple of things for you. We are starting a new program called Beginners Guitar Lessons. So all you people that did the 60s and 70s, come on, it's time to get your guitar and let's go learn a guitar again. Children and adults, fee is $15. It starts September 9th at PCR. Another thing we have is a fireside writing club on the first Thursdays of every month. First meeting will be Thursday, September 5th. And so these are all you people that like poetry, short stories, fiction, you know, get together with your writing friends. Let's write up some stuff. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roger.
Good evening, City Council, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to, on behalf of the museum's board and staff, I want to thank the City Council members and the citizens of Onalaska for our FY24 community support funds. We greatly appreciate having funds available to offer staff insurance coverage for spouses and dependents, but we did not need the entire amount, so we are returning a little over $32,000 back to the city. And then just another news, the museum had a pretty busy summer. We've had a lot of tourists come through, a little over 2,000 folks off of the ships and the ferry. We had a really great archaeology program. We had a class out at Camp Kanayu, and we want to thank the OC and the tribe for that participation. And we want to thank UVB for all their help with the cruise ships. And then we have upcoming a lunch and learn on September 28th with Ellis Berry on internet privacy and security. And we have our November 2nd membership dinner coming up, so save the date. And if you have anything you'd like to submit for a donation for an auction item, we'd love it. And we'll have a live auction, a silent auction, and an online auction. And we should have door prizes and some trivia as well. And then we're always looking for volunteers. We're working on rehousing collections items from the Islands of Four Mountains, from Reef Bay. We just started a new grant project with the National Endowment of the Humanities to rehouse a large collection we got back from Doug Valtry last year. And we're also working on the archaeological materials that we just excavated. So we'd love any help anybody would like to provide. So thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, City Council and Mayor. My name is Michael Livingston. I was raised in Cold Bay and worked out here in Onalaska from 1978 to 1981 with the Onalaska Police Department. I moved into Anchorage in 1981, worked for the Anchorage Police Department for 20 years, mostly as a patrol officer, but also as a detective, including a major crimes detective with investigated homicides, serial killers, and cold case homicides. I currently work for Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association with the Healthy Relationship Team. My job is to increase awareness for services of victims of crime. So if you have any victims of crime who need help, I encourage you to reach out to me. I also work on several other projects. I'm here this week with ETR, which is Employment Training and Resources, a three-day program to try to help people get jobs. And then I'm going to stay here for the Anchor program, which is a program to honor our veterans. In addition to working for the Anchorage Police Department, I've worked for the King Cove Police, the Sandpoint Police, and the St. Paul Police. Here in Onalaska, with a lot of help from other people, we honored United States Army Private George Fox, the only Onaw warrior killed in action during World War II or any war since. And we were able, with your help, to get a nice gravestone for him. Another project I worked on was Benny Benson. We all thought Benny Benson was a Lutic. But with a lot of research, family tree research, we found out that Benny Benson was actually Unala. And we know that because his mother, Tatiana, was born and raised here in Onalaska. The 100-year anniversary of the raising of the Alaska state flag is coming up July 9th, 2027. So we've got a little bit over 2 years, almost 3 years, to prepare for the celebration of an amazing young man who designed a really awesome flag. Getting back Private George Fox, Senator Sullivan tried to get out here. My president and CEO, Dmitry Filimonov, tried to get out here, as did Major General Brian S. Eifler. A person who was really inspired and has been captivated by the story is one of Senator Sullivan's writers, Amanda Coyne. And she's hoping to fly in tomorrow. Her dream is to write a book about about Private George Fox. And just to remind you of who I work for and what I do today, I work for Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association. We try to encourage people to have healthy relationships where people are respectful to each other and people treat each other with dignity. If you have any victims of crime, I encourage you to contact me. As a citizen, I've learned to do many things I couldn't do as a police officer. I've recently issued a subpoena to a convicted killer. One of his allies, Anchorage Police Homicide Detective, we're actually having a trial September 3rd. So I've learned a lot of new skills that can help honor our victims of crime. And I'd just like to end by saying Kagasakun. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer you. I'll get my email address to you if you need to contact me. So thank you.
All right, thank you, Mike. Appreciate your service.
Good afternoon. I'm Lynn Crane from USAVE. Later this week, USAVE will be bring the city of Onalaska a check for $76,056.18. In our FY24 grant proposal, we requested an increase of $92,398 over our FY23 city funding in order to provide dependent health insurance coverage for our three full-time employees. We budgeted for all three employees to need coverage for a spouse and children. At the time of our request, we promised that we would return any portion of that $92,000 not used specifically for that purpose. In FY24, we actually spent $27,808.46 for dependent coverage because we had only one employee that needed coverage for a spouse and one that needed it for children. So that leaves $64,589 and some cents. And despite being very busy in FY24, as you can see from these statistics, USAVE was able to retain an additional $11,466.64 in unexpended city funds. This is after stocking up on food, household supplies, outreach supplies, and other program necessities. So that brings our total that we'll be returning to $76,056.18. So I'm just here to make sure that you know that we are doing what we promised to do when we requested and you granted that increase in city funding. But I also want to reiterate once again that budgeting for USAVE is a challenge, and it's not because we don't know how to do it. It's because we aren't soothsayers or witches, despite any rumors to the contrary. I like to think of USAVE's budget as being like the Constitution, a living document. We can never predict how many shelter nights we'll have. I've worked at USAVE for 147 years now, and there is literally no discernible pattern to the service demand that we experience. We have no way of knowing how many survivors, some with children, are going to need help leaving the community, which, as you know, is very expensive, either for safety reasons or because they just don't have the support they need here. Higher shelter use results in higher than anticipated facility, or higher than anticipated utility, fuel, and other costs. I could go on and on and on, as you know. So we do revise our budget, including our city grant budget, often, and we always report these budget revisions to the city as required. If we have low shelter nights in the first half of the year, we move funds out of personnel and stock up on food and other consumables that our community needs. You can see by the number of food boxes we provided last year, food insecurity is a problem here. Or we increase our budget for training, not just for USAVE staff, but for local law enforcement, medical and behavioral health providers. All of these activities fit our mission components of safety, education, advocacy, empowerment, and the creation of a culture of nonviolence and respect. We trust that the city trusts us to always use city resources in a way that services those goals. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. The board and staff know that we could not do what we do without the city's support, and we do not take it for granted. I'd be glad to answer any questions that you have at this time.
Thank you very much for your update and report.
Thank you.
Very positive. Thanks. Anyone else in chambers? Anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir.
Great, thank you. Our next item is public comment on agenda items. This is time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. If they don't want to wait until the item comes up for a regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerks. Clerk, please come to the podium. Use a microphone. Everyone gets 3 minutes. Does anyone in chambers wish to speak? City clerk, were written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or phone wish to speak?
No written comment was submitted, Mayor, and no one indicated that they wanted to speak.
Okay, thank you. Next up is the work session. We have a motion and a second to go into work session.
I make a motion to go into the work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson, seconded by Councilman Longo. Are there any objections? We go into work session. Hearing none. We are in work session at 6:35, and I'll turn this over to the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor.
So this item, the City Council began to work to establish a permanent fund under the prior administration. In 2022, we had a change in leadership, which interrupted the project, began it again in the fall of 2023. In the spring of 2024, I met with Mr. Learman of the Alaska Permanent Capital Management Agency and Charles Cassiola, our city attorney, and together they wrote the bulk of this. I did some review of it. They're both here tonight for almost two different reasons, but it's nice they're both in the audience. And Mr. Learman will be coming up to give you kind of the annual report, the state of our investments, and then speak to the there's two items in your packet. One's a resolution and one's an ordinance. They're not for action tonight. These are draft. This is the work that you've been putting together for this permanent fund, or it's often been called the fiscal sustainability plan. So with that, I'd like to call Mr. Learman up to the dais.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, City Council. Good to be with you guys again. With me online is my colleague, Brandy Nicolai. She's a co-CIO of Multi-Assets. We work together to manage all the assets of Alaska Permanent Capital Management. She will kind of speak to the permanent fund. When this gets segregated, her team's going to be overseas. She has enormous amount of experience working with other cities and state entities here with the permanent fund type structures. So I'll turn it over to her when we get to there. With the time tonight, I would like to do a couple things. I want to go over the current portfolio, the characteristics and performance of just a few minutes on that, where that portfolio is, and then work into the permanent fund, go over the timeline, just bring everybody up to speed what we've accomplished over the last three, 4 years, an overview, and then turn it over to Brandy to speak to the perm fund. Just some background, the moderate growth allocation was selected by you guys. We want to bring you up to speed on the new data, market expectations over the next 10 years. So Brandy will go over that. And then what are the next steps forward, what we need to do? I think we're getting close. We're 85%. If I had to give you guys a number, with the work of city staff and the city attorneys, I think we have a really good draft. There's still some tweaks we still got to make to that draft. So my hope is at the end, here in the next couple months, we'll have that completely finalized and bring that to you guys, possibly another work session to really go into the detail. It wasn't my intent tonight to go into detail of those two drafts, but I think you guys seen it, where we are, what it looks like. We'll give us a good head start when we get into the final drafts of those two documents. And then what time I have some market slides, but I'll put that at to the end. This is the historical value. I appreciate business. APCM was founded in 1992. You guys have been a client and a partner with us since June of 1995. So thank you. I think this kind of shows the kind of partnership. What the portfolio looked like back in 1996 is not what the portfolio is now. And as we continue to partner with you guys and we look 10, 20 years out, those portfolios will be different. And I feel confident to say the changes that you guys are making with the permanent fund and the reserve funds, that's going to be a net positive to the community as we move forward. I will just say one thing about yields. The market, starting in 2022, the yield started moving up. The Federal Reserve started increasing rates, and we went from a period of very low interest rates of zero all the way up to a little over 5%, and that's going to be a reflection. And why that is important is two reasons. We see that in a graph that I'll show you here in a second, where coupon income coming off the portfolio has moved up as interest rates have moved up. So that's been a positive for savers. But we're kind of moving into a area now where interest rates are kind of moving down. We expect the Federal Reserve to start decreasing rates in September. We're expecting 75 basis points here in 2024. So as yields start moving down, so where will the yield income over time? The portfolio resets and yields will be lower, so coupon income will be a little less in the portfolio as we look 1 and 3 years down the road. One more. Here's the portfolio. The portfolio objectives, preservation of capital, make sure that we have liquidity in the portfolio. There's sufficient liquidity, as we saw on the very first page, very minimal draws that come out of here over a long period of time. And then the third would be, to obtain a market rate of return. I think when we get into performance, we've outperformed the market, what we've been given. But currently, at the end of July, the portfolio was right at $117 million. I look today, the portfolio is at $118 million. The yield on the portfolio is a 4.58, about 23 basis points above the benchmark of a 4.35. And when we think about what's in that benchmark, the benchmark is all the securities, fixed income securities that are government. Those are U.S. Treasuries and U.S. agencies. That's the Federal Home Loan Bank, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, securities that are anywhere from 1 year in maturity all the way out to 3 years. If we think about the holistic of all the U.S. bonds, investment grade bonds, so you have corporate bonds, asset backs, mortgage backs, anywhere out to 30 years. So the benchmark is very well defined between 1 and 3 year securities, government backed. This portfolio has some investment grade bonds into it. The investment policy that we manage against allows us to have down to triple B investment grade corporate bonds, asset backs within this portfolio. So when we look down the bottom left-hand corner, we look at the composition of this. It's been pretty static. Treasuries, U.S. government securities are 61-62% over the last couple years. Credit has decreased a little bit from 29% down to 26%. Credit and asset backs, securitized assets are about 6.5% of the portfolio. So very high in quality, but we're able to increase the yield in that portfolio. The bonds that are invested in corporates and asset back is what gives that yield a little bit higher than what the benchmark is. In the upper right-hand corner, the annual coupon income. When interest rates were low, the portfolio was generating anywhere between $1 and $1.5 million in coupon income. And as interest rates rise, as that previous graph, the portfolio reset. And today, the portfolio is generating a little over $4.5 million in income over the next 12. So we're forecasting an annual income number over the next is of $4.5 million on the portfolio moving forward over the next 12 months. Performance, we'll look at, when we look, the orange bar is what the Bloomberg 1-3 government, that's that benchmark that I was referring back to. The blue bars is the performance of your guys' account. The 1 year, the portfolio has returned about 5.79% above our benchmark, above your benchmark, the 5 year and 10 year numbers above. And then if we look back to historically, since June 30th, 1995, we've outperformed the benchmark. So we've kind of done what the portfolio and what we've intended to do versus the benchmark. Now, I would like to make one comment here on the 1 year number of 580. Looking forward, the portfolio's returned that. I expect over the next year, we'll have similar return numbers and total return numbers. But as yields decrease, we should start seeing that number drop a little bit just because there's not as much coupon income as the portfolio is resetting as we move forward. So I'll take a quick pause there before I move into the timeline and start moving into the permanent fund. For the city council mayor.
Good. You have a question?
coupon income. I've never heard of that term. Could you define that for me?
Yeah, absolutely. Coupon is on a bond, when we buy a fixed rate bond, basically a loan, they pay us, we get the bond, and then they will pay a fixed rate interest rate on that. And that's that coupon. So if we go out and buy a 3-year treasury, U.S. government treasury, there might be a coupon of 3% on that bond. So they have to pay us 3% on the money, the principal that we pay them. And so when we look at, so every single bond that we have in the portfolio, each one of those securities pays us a coupon. And that's, and if we took the dollar amount that we invested and times it by that rate, then we're going to get an annual income number off of that. And then when we summation all those, that's how we come up with that $4.5 million.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions? If not, we'll move on.
Thank you, Mayor. As Bill Homka kind of alluded to earlier, this project's been going on for a little bit and in small steps, and I think very positive steps to work through. And I just want to kind of go back in September 2021, I was in front of city council, and for one day I was in front of staff, working with staff, and then as a second to council, just looking at current strategies, bucketing strategies, and I kind of go over that here in a second. Then in October, we went over a allocation strategy. And then we went over to permanent fund options. At that time, we were looking at drawdowns, what it would look like 10 years from out. If you guys put us, we did some simulations, if it was 20 million, 30 million, 40 million. So all kinds of different simulations. And what we got out of that was looking at two different allocations, a growth allocation, a moderate growth allocation, is the council kind of decided about 4 million, or I'm sorry, 40 million to set aside. So that was the first bucket. The other was the moderate growth allocation. And what that did for us was it started to set a sustainable distribution of 4% from the portfolio. And Brandy will kind of move into those numbers. But that out of that work session, that's where we get a lot of these numbers and the allocations to come through that. And then in February, we came back and then we reviewed with some turnover. We decided to reset. I was in front of you guys. This is where we were. And then coming out of that February meeting with you guys, got the directive to start down the pathway of creating the drafts of the resolution ordinance that would need to be passed to create the perm fund, which we'll review here in a little bit. So since February, that was the big change that we've had working with the city staff and the attorneys. Big picture, let's kind of take a step back, and I want to just overview all your investments and what it looks like and where the permanent fund sets in to the different buckets that we have took. Both in 2011 and 2021, the city council passed resolutions to commit about commit 25 million to emergency operations. This has never been segregated from the portfolio that we manage. And so when when I was in front of you looking through bucketing strategy and I suggested that, hey, let's carve that out and build its own portfolio because it's longer duration. And so that's that green bucket in the middle. That short-term reserve fund is what we manage currently. It's 1 to 3 reserves. And then you also have your operating cash bucket, which is, you know, right currently you have KeyBank and the Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool. We can think of that as your most liquid assets. That's what pays your bills every month, every couple weeks. That's so we can start seeing where the operating cash is your immediate liquidity needs. Now we have the short-term reserves that those are 1 to 3. Those are what we manage. And we don't have any suggestion changes to those two. But then we have this emergency operation fund that we still have to, that's one of the projects that we got to do. And then now the permanent fund. And so tonight we'll work on the permanent fund and work through that. And right underneath that in your packet is, you know, we what else does needs to happen to finish up the permit fund? We have finalized and approved changes to code, open a separate custody account. Staff would do that, and then APCM would implement the agreed upon strategy. So those are still the steps that need to be laid out to finish up with the permanent fund. And right before I turn it over to Brandy to speak to the allocation, again, just kind of, again, going back, you know, we've developed what we've talked about with the bucketing strategy and trying to match up your guys' liquidity needs to time horizon. Many communities across the state do this. We have a lot of experience working with communities with the bucketing strategy and trying to to optimize your guys' money as best as possible. So with that, I will turn it over to Brandy on page 10, talking about portfolio characteristics.
Okay, good evening. Thank you for having me. As Bill mentioned, I'm the Chief Investment Officer of Multi-Asset Strategies. So our team is responsible for any of the portfolios that we're managing that have multiple different asset classes. We do work with several different permanent funds throughout the state of Alaska. So this is part of a good aspect to be in, where you have some extra reserves that you can invest for the long term and also create a stable and growing distribution from the permanent fund. If you advance to the next page, what I wanted to do today is really just revisit two slides that we talked about in the past. One will give us an idea about the long-term expected returns and risk associated with the moderate growth allocation that the council approved. And then we're going to look at a couple simulations to give you some idea about how we think the portfolio could grow over time.
Hey, Brandy, if we can take a quick second. One of the council members had a quick question before we dive in real quick.
Okay.
Manubi had a question before he started. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just curious, these numbers, are these updated numbers, the buckets of money, or as of today, are these still numbers from back in 21 when we
talked about back it? These are the original numbers that we had back in, knowing that the 25 was the 40, and then the short-term reserves and operating, those are still the original numbers from 20 earlier this year.
Okay, that's all I needed. Thank you.
And I apologize to unleash Brandy quickly.
Nope, that's all right.
Apologize for that. Go ahead and continue.
Okay, I think we're ready, Brandy.
Okay, great. So if you advance to the next slide, you should see a slide that says portfolio characteristics at the top. And what I wanted to do here is just revisit the moderate growth allocation. We're going to talk about it from a high level perspective. So we're just going to talk about this multi-asset portfolio that is really designed to help the city meet your goals for these permanent fund assets, which are detailed in the box in the top left-hand corner. So this portfolio is well suited for an investment that has a perpetual time horizon. So there's assets in there like global stocks for growth, and there's also assets to help us with inflation protection over time. And then the city has a specific goal currently outlined as maintaining safety of principal, maximizing total return. So as Bill mentioned earlier in his comments, we did spend some time a couple of meetings ago where we looked at different permanent fund allocations, and this is the allocation that was selected. I'll focus your attention on the table at the bottom of the page. The line that says long-term return, 6.7%. That's the long-term return we think that this portfolio could generate over a 10-year horizon. So we know we're going to accept a certain amount of volatility because we have some risk in the portfolio. And just to remind you of kind of some of the ups and downs in the markets that we think we could anticipate with this allocation, I'll focus your attention on the annual return line where it says range. And so the range of returns we expect to experience most of the time is being down 11.8% and up 29.1%. So if we're presenting to council and we're talking about annual returns, if we're anywhere within those ranges, that's as expected. And that's really important because APCM utilizes these forward-looking projections to kind of lay out what we think we can experience in the future. And as long as we're kind of staying within these projected return ranges, that tells us if we maintain our strategy that we should meet the long-term return goal, which is 6.7%. The last risk number I want to touch on is the bottom line where it says average loss in extreme conditions. And so we do think in an unforeseen situation like the COVID crisis, the portfolio could have an intermediate drawdown of 25.5%. And again, that number is key for our team because we do utilize that number to monitor the portfolio in real time as we're going through stressful market conditions. Again, with the premise that should we stay within these projections, we think we can eventually recover and be on path to meet our goals over time. So the last number I'm going to point out for you here is where it says net earnings. And so essentially what we're doing here is we're saying if we think the long-term return of the portfolio will be 6.7%, and we know we want to protect the portfolio from inflation over time, APCM has a long-term inflation projection right now of 2.5%. So if we take 6.7% and we take out 2.5% of expected inflation, that gets us to 4.2%. And the reason why that number is important for council is because that 4% number is what we think is a sustainable spend rate that you can take from the portfolio in both up and down markets. And so that 4% number is something that we're going to look at on the next page and turn all of this percentage, you know, forward-looking numbers into dollar values, which I think can be helpful in terms of understanding the projected growth of the permanent fund. So what we did here is we did a modeling scenario. And so we're looking at projections over a 10-year horizon. We took an initial starting market value of $40 million. And we said, how about we take the distribution based upon this moderate growth allocation that I just presented, and we're going to take out 4% of the 5-year average market value over time. And so one of the things that we want to try to do with the permanent fund assets is create a stable and growing distribution over time. And by looking at the, you know, history of the market value of the permanent fund and then taking the average of that market value and calculating what is 4% of that, that formula in itself is an important complement to your investment portfolio that helps create these stable and growing distributions over time. And so one of the things that we still have on the table to discuss a bit more as we're continuing to work through this process is when you start spending. And so we gave a couple of scenarios here where you start spending at different time periods. So the first one is withdrawals that would come out in fiscal year 26, 27, and 29. And so here you can see what at the bottom of the table, you could see what the cash flows would be based upon our projections. And that's the 4% that we're talking about. So for example, if you started taking most immediately, it'd be about 1.64 million, and then it grows over time to 2.01 million. And then you could see if you waited to actually start distributions, what those would be over time. And so the candlestick that you see at the top right-hand corner is the wealth projection of the portfolio after you take out those distributions. So if you began withdrawals right away, we think that your $40 million would grow to 51.7 million. That's our base case estimate where the black dash line is. So that growth from 40 million to 51.7 covers inflation, and that 51.7 million estimate is after your annual distributions. And we did the same projections if you started taking withdrawals later in 27 or 29. You could see if you wait to take distributions, the account has some more time to compound and grow on itself. So you can see those values of 56.2 and 60.8 million are a bit higher than if you took out money right away from the permanent fund. So that was just an illustration of, you know, how we think the portfolio could grow over the next 10 years, or once you start the allocation. And I know that on the table was still when would these potential distributions start? And so we wanted to give you a couple ideas here. This is all a tool that you're free to utilize anytime you're having discussions. So if you want our team to run some different scenarios for you where you start withdrawals at different times or different amounts, we can certainly do that. So that really covers what I wanted to revisit on the permanent fund allocation. On the next page, we just kind of summarize what we still have to do in order to continue moving forward with actually establishing the permanent fund. We do have a draft ordinance and a draft resolution that we've been working with management on. And those drafts, as Bill mentioned, still have to have some modest modifications to them, but we've been working through them. And essentially what we're doing here is having an ordinance which gives the overall goals and objectives of the permanent fund, and it also outlines the spending policy and the overall allowable investments. And then each year we'll have a resolution, and that process will help us confirm that the current strategy is still suitable for Onalaska, and it will give us an opportunity to revisit your goals and objectives and just confirm that we want to continue with the existing strategy. And that's done by resolution each year. So those two code changes are in the process. The assets still do need to be segregated into a separate account. APCM can certainly assist with that process. And then once the account is funded and the code changes have been adopted, APCM can then implement the permanent funds strategic allocation. So that concludes my prepared remarks, but I'm certainly able to answer any questions that you might have.
Councilman Tungo has a question.
So if we, you're talking about separating the starting amount of $40 million and separate whatever gains you get on a separate account, is that what it means?
The gains of that $40 million?
Yeah.
So when you have the permanent fund, the $40 million would be into its own account, and any gains would be in that. So if let's say you're going to wait 3 years before you guys distributed from there, and all the gains would stay in there, you know, over the first 3 years. And then if you guys started taking a distribution of that percentage, the sustainable distribution, then that would come out and you guys would put that to wherever you guys, you know, wherever you guys want to put that, you know, your general budget or whatnot. So
if it's separated, does it lessen up whatever the total of the more money you gain on there, mm-hmm. it added up from year to year, right? It kind of.
Can you repeat your question?
If you separate the two,
mm-hmm.
so if you instead of having them together, the gain will still go a lot higher than when it is just $40 million in there, right?
Correct. Yeah, it'll if it goes from $40 million to $40.5 million, and then it'll continue to grow.
So if you got them on a separate account, is that gonna be? It's not gonna.
Yeah, you would have it separate account because the investments are going to in each account are going to be different. So the permanent fund is going to be riskier with other asset classes than the original portfolio that has just fixed income bonds that mature between 1 and 3 years. So you would have separate accounts. So, you know, you'd have different performance numbers on each account and the objectives are a little bit different.
Whatever gain on all the $40 million, even though they're on a different account, the whatever gain is on a separate account, separately from the $40 million. The beginning of the investment that you
the gain on the current portfolio?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That the current the gains on the current portfolio would stay within the current portfolio, yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. Further questions before we move on? Go ahead. Councilman Luby.
So on the distributions, so if we started, say if we started FY26, we could expect, or FY25, we could expect $1.64 million annual for that year. Mm-hmm. And so is this each year is what we would expect to withdraw, or is it if we waited till FY28, would we expect around 1.7 annually? Or
yeah, under the line that says withdraws beginning FY25,
mm-hmm.
that's 1.64 million would be taken out in that first year, 1.67 the second year. So it assumes that that money has been taken out the previous year out of that.
And then it's just building on what we've left in there, basically. Correct. And that's what we would expect to earn every year based mm-hmm. on those. Okay.
And then on withdrawals, let's say if we look at withdrawals beginning fiscal year 29, that 1.92 million in fiscal year 29 distribution takes into consideration that all gains are left in that account and are compounding within that account during the previous 4 years.
Right. Okay. Great. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Councilman Luby. Anyone else? Councilman Bell.
Yeah, I know we've looked at this, over the last couple of years, and we may end up repeating some of the questions that we may have asked before. So, I guess one of my first questions would be, I know there's other communities that have established permanent funds, mm-hmm. And is there any way of finding out, have any of those communities, what are the pitfalls they've run into or have experienced with, creating any permanent funds, a community, their revenue base changes or goes away, or, they have some other type of major catastrophe or something that changes the revenue.
Randy, do you have, I do have an answer for that, but she has more experience, in front of councils and assemblies. Brandy, do you want to take that? Is there any pitfalls, that we've experienced with our experience with numerous entities across the state?
Yes, I think that the largest pitfall is not really from the investment or the dynamics changing from the municipalities that we're working with, because in our investment management process, we're actually going through, as we're recommending to Onalaska, where each year APCM is confirming the strategy, and we're also spending the time to confirm the financial position of the municipality we're working with. And so this is kind of like, even though we're talking about a 10-year time horizon, in the interim, we're staying on top of any changes of goals, et cetera, that may trigger us to change the investment strategy. So that aspect in itself hasn't happened with any of the municipalities that we've worked with. I think some of the biggest challenges that councils have in regards to managing permanent fund assets is during times of heightened market volatility, where you have to start to be able to answer questions from the community as it relates to what are we doing during this stressful time. As part of the onboarding process, when we actually go to implement the strategy, I'll make sure I share some of those insights with you to help you answer some of those questions. We can talk more about how we control risk in the portfolios during stressful market conditions. All of those, I think, are some of the challenges that the cities and municipalities that we've worked with have had to address.
And I would also add from a distribution, if the sustainable, when you have your asset allocation set and we're projecting in this particular case a sustainable rate of draw 4%, that a pitfall could be if you made the decision to draw 5% from the portfolio or 6% from the portfolio, well above the sustainable rate, that could degrade the principal of the fund. You have any comments on that, Brandy?
No, that's a really good point, because I think that the plans are successful as long as we lay out the strategic plan and we all follow the strategic plan. That will really keep us on course to, you know, reach our ultimate goals of growing these assets over time and having a perpetual distribution that's also stable and growing over time. So I think that, you know, it's important to remember alongside those comments is that we're looking and working with you on at least an annual basis to confirm the goals and objectives and kind of what the strategic plan is. The strategic plan can change over time and we can adjust if we need to based upon the city's circumstances. But once we kind of set out the plan for the year, it's important to follow it so that we can be successful as we go forward.
Thank you. Another question would be, this permanent fund, the way that's proposed in this draft ordinance and resolution, is it similar to the Alaska permanent fund, or is it something that's tailored to this community, but same follows like a similar model?
It's a similar model that we manage for other municipalities. And so we did do a comparison as we went through the process of, you know, what are some of the other what do some of the other cities already have in place and what the risk profile is. And so I would say that the allocation is a bit more conservative than the state of Alaska permanent fund, primarily because we have all liquid assets and we don't have a lot of assets designated in the private markets, for example. And so I would say that the overall profile is modestly below that of the state of Alaska permanent fund.
Okay, thank you. And then the last question I have is more directed towards the city manager. In the memo here, there's no staff recommendation. I'm just wondering, as we have more discussions on this, to kind of get some input from staff, if there's some positives or negatives that you see in that, and kind of get a little more feedback, have a little more conversation between council and staff. So thank you.
Brandy, I do have a question for you. Do you feel comfortable saying that the allocation is in line with other permanent funds, the size of others here in the state of Alaska, other cities?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely aligned with what we do for other municipalities.
Councilman Luby.
So as things have, you know, as things have kind of changed for us over the last few years, one of our big, which I just kind of mentioned in our manager's report, is about renewable energy. Mm-hmm. And the geothermal that we thought we were going to do is kind of falling apart and we're restructuring. There's some expenses that are going to be coming up for the city that could be pretty, you know, substantial. Mm-hmm. With different things. We have a lot of buildings that are just about at that point to, you know, have some major repairs. And so how accessible is this $40 million if we needed it, I guess? Because if we tie that up, mm-hmm. Is it really hard to access? Like if we did bonds, if it's a 3-year bond, you're not going to get that money back for 3 years, correct?
No, we can sell that bond in the open market and receive funds back. Okay. We can technically sell that bond and get your money back the very next day. All of the assets that are in your current portfolio are accessible in the markets. The assets that are in that we're suggesting in this permanent fund, as Brandy mentioned, are all public assets. So they all have marketable values, daily marketable value. If you called us up and said, hey, we need to liquidate and we need to raise X amount of money, we could do that. However, you know, when we think about 10-year outlook and the volatility, they could have negative implications of, you know, losing, having realized losses on those securities if you sell them too quickly. But availability of the money, yeah, they're there. Now, Now, it's up to you guys how you guys spend the money and the distributions and things of that nature that would go through the resolution and how you guys would do that. But from holding that up, if they were private debt or private equity securities, those would be a little bit harder to get your money out of. But the securities that we're recommending all have available market-making abilities.
Okay. And I know that, you know, the point is permanently leave this bucket of money there to, you know, earn on. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that we have, you know, and maybe 40 million, maybe we need to adjust the 40 million. That's something that council will have to decide. But, you know, that's why I would like to see a big picture of what our plan is as well, because, you know, energy is a big deal for us right now. Yeah. We have a deteriorating system and different things, and things have kind of changed a little bit, I believe. But so we might need to revisit the dollar amounts or something too. So anyway, okay, I was just kind of curious if they were tied up.
From the Alaska Permanent Fund and some other municipalities that have permanent funds is with the state of Alaska, there's a component of it that's enshrined in the Constitution. And with some other municipalities, such as the North Slope Borough, there's a component of it that's in their charter. And for the state or the municipalities that have those structures, to change them requires voter approval. That would not be the case within Alaska because you don't have a charter. You're not a home rule municipality. So whatever you set up could be changed in the future. And you would not have either the inflexibility or the safety, depending on how you look at it, of requiring voter approval for a significant change in what you've done. So that does make it different from, again, like the Alaska Permanent Fund and some municipalities that have similar funds, but they are, you know, fundamentally established by their charters.
Okay.
I'll just finalize and make just a couple of comments on the economy. I'm past my time, but our hope is when we get in front of you next time, we'll have the finalized draft, and then we'll walk you through all the different sections more in detail. We wanted to put this in front of you so you guys have a sight of what those seven sections are, and then so you guys can verify a sustainable rate or the distribution rate, how much. Verify the allocation, and we'll go through that step by step and make sure that it's exactly what you guys are intended to be, you know, at the next time we meet.
Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, so I had specific questions about this draft here, but it sounds like we're not really there yet, or are we?
Please ask your question.
So it talks about, I understand the distribution is a 5-year average, but it talks about notwithstanding subsection A, there'll be no distribution of the permanent fund prior to July 1st, 2029. So it already sounds like you're setting this at 5 years, but you're saying that we haven't decided that distributions to begin at 1 year, 3 years, 5 years.
That's correct. Okay. And, where that framework of that 5 year was when we originally met in a few years ago, the original talk at the council level was 5 years. We don't need it. We don't think so. Let's put 5 years. So that's what we put in here. But we also showed why we're 2 years into that period, and then that's why we went ahead and made that the line items of the fiscal year 2025, 2027, and 2029 just to do that. But we recognize that some of these could change at that.
So the question is then, so say we come in and set it at 3 years, and in 3 years time we're not getting the returns, can you just sit and wait? You don't have to take a distribution at 3 years.
Correct.
But if you set it at 5, you can't take a distribution prior to 5. You can or you could. It's just a projection
could.
On
you could.
Yeah, so I'm saying, because if you write it at 5, then it's written as five and you have to wait.
I'm going to look over to Charles here for a second. But my understanding is it's written, but tomorrow, if it, you guys come back and something happens and you want to change it completely, you could go ahead and put in resolution and have the normal reading and two readings and vote on it.
Ordinance change.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay.
So it doesn't.
But it doesn't change the strategy. It just kind of just changes the goals, I guess.
Yeah.
Council in a way.
I think, I'm going to defer to Brandy on this, but I think, let's say 2 years down the road and you guys said, hey, we want to change our distribution rate, we would come back and say, okay, what's that sustainable distribution? Here's a new asset allocation to meet those needs. If you guys wanted to, you said, okay, hey, we had 40 million and you guys spent 20 million out of it, we might come back to you and say, okay, what is the long-term objective of this money? Does it still make sense to have it invested as is? So that's on APCM to continue to be in front of you guys on a yearly basis to talk about your objectives and goals of the perm fund, make sure the asset allocation meets the sustainable rate that you guys are going to have moving forward every year.
Okay. Yeah, I think that to me, this has always just been about not tying up money indefinitely and not making it accessible if you know, you never know, stuff happens. Mm-hmm. This is about making this stuff work better for us while it's just sitting there.
That's
and correct. That was the big goal here, is let's put it somewhere a little more aggressive and then use those distributions. Let's just sit there, use those distributions for whatever, you know, council, the community feels like that would be a great use for. So I think that was the purpose of this. It was never to just tie it up and say, we'll never touch it. And because stuff, you know, like you said, you never know. And
absolutely.
we really have to make sure that we have that freedom to do that.
Yep.
If that, even if it's there, we can still get it if we have to. And that was really, I think that was really the intent of all of this.
Yep.
Originally.
And also when you look at the bucketing strategy, you know, the segregated 25 million for emergency operations. And so you have some protection before you would have to dive into the permanent fund. And so you would still have not only those emergency operations, you still have the funds that APC or the short-term reserve funds that are currently being managed in that 80 million block. So there's other layers of before you get to the perm fund, you know, and things of that nature.
Okay. Yeah. Just, and I'm going to ask it now because it's just language stuff, and then I'll have to ask it later if you don't mind. It's one of the, a couple of the whereases. I just kind of maybe just understanding this a little bit better. Are we okay to talk about this where we're at, right? Okay. It's probably 1, 2, 3, 4th, whereas future generations of Unalaska residents may benefit the present use of resources. It is the council's intention for city funds to be contributed to the permanent fund on an ongoing basis when city finances are able to sustain such contributions. It's so the ongoing basis, I guess my thought was that this is 40 million is allocated. And does that mean that the options to add to that, is that what the ongoing is referring to, or is that, how does that?
I think what that's supposed to intend is you can put additional money into it if you so. We see others, and all they might sell a piece of land, and then they put that money into their perm fund. Some is by charter; they're required to, but some do it. But yeah, that's you can put additional monies in, and I think that was kind of the start when we first were trying to pin down a dollar amount. Was okay, how much money? It started at 20 some, and there, I think at one time someone said 50 or 60, and then the number got to 40. And it was to start a little bit more conservative and go year by year. And you know, when people feel comfortable with it, and you can add money, more money into it if you guys so desire.
So the recitals, you know, obviously just explain what was intended. It doesn't bind you. This was included so that in the future, whether it's 5, 10, 30 years from now,
a future council can look back and say, oh, when they did this, there was a plan that it wouldn't just be a one-time deposit into the permanent fund, and that there would be future ones, you know, when it made sense to do that. And so it's really just to kind of memorialize the present council's intent that in the future there will be more contributions made, though not with any defined mechanism. As Bill said, you know, some municipalities will say if they sell land, that goes in the permanent fund. We didn't think the city was prepared to set a defined mechanism, but we wanted it to state that the idea is that there will be future contributions as the council sees fit.
Okay, thank you. And then just kind of just help me through the next whereas. Talking about distributions to meet the needs and priorities of future generations should be determined by those persons without undue restriction from this council. So, in a little easy, huh? So kind of just like, I don't know, say that a different way. That'd be great for me.
You don't want to tell what your successors 30 years from now should do too much. You know, they should be free to kind of decide that within reason what makes sense for the community at that time.
Excellent. And so when we determined what we'd like to use with the distributions, it obviously can be changed for future generations.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Councilman Tungle.
So if we got returns and we did not spend, can we put them into the capital, just part of the 40 million to you can add it up in there so you can have more?
Yeah, the returns would just stay in that account and keep on.
Even it's on a separate account, the returns?
Yeah, there would be two separate. So in this particular, you'd have one account, that which is the current account.
Yeah.
And then we'd set up a second account. And we take 40 million out, you know, December 1st.
Yeah.
And then the next 12 months, you know, all the return numbers would stay in that account.
Oh.
And then in this other account, the current account, would the return numbers and all the monies would stay in that account. And so when we get in front of you, we would have two line items of the two different accounts and the performance numbers, and we would segregate the two and go through all that.
So you've got a performance on the original account and a performance on the
correct
on the return.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, it's totally segregated. Two different statements to everything for that.
Thank you.
No, great questions and working through this. I can speak to the market for a long period of time, and I think just talking, and I'll just paraphrase my final thoughts on where APCM thinks about growth and inflation, and I touch base on the Federal Reserve. Growth is slowing, but it's far from negative. It's right around 2% economic growth. It kind of starts moving down, projections down to 1.5, and then swings back up. We're not projecting a recession within the U.S. There might be pockets of very slow growth, but we're not overall in the camp that, you know, the whole U.S. is going into a recession. When we think about inflation, this is the second component of the Fed's mandate. It's currently 2.9%. That's well done, down from above 9. The service component, which makes up about 61% of that CPI number, that was kind of the sticky number that Federal Reserve was looking for before they started decreasing rates. That's kind of turned over and started coming down. So the Federal Reserve is now in a situation where there's stable employment. That's when I say stable, it's ticked up a little bit, but not as much as what people forecasted. And then inflation number is now coming down from the stickiness. So they feel in a position, and the Fed chairman just came out last Friday and made the announcement that he believes that it's time to pivot to where the Fed the interest rates, Fed funds interest rate is to decrease by 25 basis points in September. So we should start seeing the Federal Reserve start decreasing interest rates. not as good for savers, but good for borrowers who are looking for loans. That should help with the housing across the United States by dropping the interest rates. So in big picture, APCM's not in the camp of recession. We do think there's still economic growth that should be supportive for equities. And also with the decrease in interest rates, that should be supportive for the bond market too. So I'll end my remarks there and take any questions. I'm well past my time.
Councilman Luby, then Holman.
Yeah, I think my question is actually, it's not more of a question, it's more of a statement for the city manager. Before we actually decide on buckets of money or what we're going to do, I'd really like to know what our fund balances are. That'll be really important to decide, do we have funds for our projects? And then do we have funds available to invest? So I'll be looking for something like that before we make decisions. So thanks.
Thank you. Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. Way back in 2021, I know there's been multiple discussions, and I have to say I had to go back and grab the last presentations. Thank you. It seems very consistent with what we've all discussed before. And moving forward. So I just want to be very, very clear here. Is there anything from council that we need at this point in a way of a directive or anything to keep moving forward? Or is that something now that's still in your area and you're going to come back with this resolution and ordinance for approval?
It's on the APCM to continue to work through these docs. Our to work with staff to get back in front of you guys where we go through fine tooth and what we're going to sit back down with staff and Charles and make sure that we feel all comfortable with the document before we're right back in. And then we'll use that document and work through it to make sure there's no more changes, you know, take time, the distribution rates and things to that nature. Are you okay with the $40 million? Do all that kind of stuff. And then that would be the final document.
Okay.
So one more work session in front
Thank
of
you
guys.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Councilman Bell.
Yeah, I just want to make some comments, and I guess it's more directed towards council and staff as far as where I'm at on this. And I know we've had a lot of discussion on this over the last couple of years. And for the most part, what has been presented to us here hasn't changed a whole lot other than, you know, some tweaking of numbers. But I think I can support the direction we're going here. As a perspective from my point of view, I know there's been a lot of discussion and concern over being able to get hold of funds should we need a large input of cash. But over the last couple of years, I've also got a better understanding of what, you know, monies the city does have. We have this $25 million set aside in an emergency fund. We generally have at least $10 million in the 1% fund. Some of the enterprise funds, the proprietary funds, have positive balances in it. We saw the electric proprietary fund had $13 million in it when we were looking at it last. And a lot of the projects that may come up that we might be concerned about are going to be large infrastructure projects that have value and a return on investment, things that grow communities. Those are projects that I would even have no problem bonding or borrowing money to pay for those projects. So I don't think we're, in a position where we're going to be hurting for money, barring some major catastrophe, where we would really have to be concerned about getting into that permanent fund. But it is there if we had to. So thank you.
And thank you, Councilman Bell, for the question. Continue? Or is that it?
That I was finalized.
That's it. All right. All right. Well, I appreciate the review, and I support the recommendations you've made, and we need to have a continued discussion with our city manager and staff, but we'll come back to you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next item is the update from City Attorney Charles Cassiola of Munson. I'll turn this over to, welcome. Go ahead, and City Manager, you got it.
So these guys are the Wizards of Oz that always talk to us over the loudspeaker in here, and they have to come out once a year to actually see who's behind the curtain. And we've been working with these fellows for a long time, and I would say in my review of what they were about to present, I wasn't surprised. There's been an uptick in activity. I mean, my staff and I want to be sure that if we're fixing something or entering something we're not sure about, or it's a question, we have been using the attorneys to make sure that we're proceeding properly. And I would say this also with Mr. Lehman, it's been a great relationship talking to both our attorneys and these relationships we've been building, as well as with Alaska Permanent Capital Management Fund. Brandy, as well as Bill, are great to work with there. So I'll let them introduce themselves and go forward. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Well, you know, we've had a productive couple of days meeting with department heads and the city manager to now, to just discuss a lot of city legal needs. Unfortunately, we haven't been out here in a couple of years. Sam and I tried to make it out last summer, made it to Sandpoint, and then headed back to Anchorage. So, not having been here before, I want to introduce my partner, Sam Severin. It's his first time out here, but he's been doing quite a bit of work for the city over the last several years.
I have. Yeah. Thank you for having us. I'm glad to be here. And it has been a productive couple of days. We had a lovely day in Sandpoint last summer, but I'm really glad to have made it out here. And we are the Wizard of Oz over there, and I recognize the voices. And so it's fun to put them with the face, and I'm just really happy to be here. But we made sometimes we visit the communities that we work for, and it's just not quite as organized and focused, but we really did cover a lot of ground and meet with a lot of department heads over the last couple of days. And it was very productive. So glad we got to do that.
Earlier today, there was a written status report that was distributed to you. We weren't able to get it out for the meeting packet. So we'll go over that a little bit, but because lawyers are famous for keeping things short and to the point, that's what I'm going to try to do. Over the past year, the city has incurred slightly over $120,000 in legal fees and expenses. Expenses are essentially non-fee time. It's, costs that we incur that we have reimbursed at our actual cost. That's slightly more than the same period of time in the previous year, which was about $110,000, and down substantially from several years prior, where there were a lot of sort of extraordinary legal matters, COVID and geothermal and some litigation that resulted in the city spending quite a bit more on legal fees. The largest component in terms of the categories that we bill at was personnel. We can't talk too much about a lot of those matters because they're confidential. A significant part of it is personnel investigations, as well as a ASHER complaint that was filed by an employee, and that was dismissed by the commission couple weeks ago. So it was a fortunate result. And the negotiating the PSEA CBA has also been quite a bit of work. Historically, when there haven't been major litigation or items like the geothermal project, personnel has typically been the largest component of your legal costs. We have worked on quite a bit of different matters through the year, and we continue to. Happy to discuss any of them with you, or at least most of them in open session, some perhaps better in executive session.
Mr. Comments? Questions? I guess a lot of it we can't talk about. But it's interesting.
Yeah.
Any questions or comments you want to make, Bill? Or Councilman Newby?
Yeah, I just want to say with a new city manager, I think it's important to, you know, have that guidance, and I appreciate all the help you guys have given him, and I don't think it's been an unreasonable amount. I think it's actually pretty low for a city. I was kind of surprised to see that amount. No, don't charge more. But anyway, I just, you know, thought I'd mention, I thought it was important, you know, that Bill has the support, and I don't feel like that is a whole lot. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else? Comment? Let's see here. I don't have any, but I appreciate all the work you guys are doing. It's great to see you finally. Been there a couple of years, and I haven't met you guys.
Yeah, it has been a few years.
You head out here and you turn around and go back, do the scenic tour, and go back to Anchorage.
Right.
Well, thank you for the update. And doing a great job. I know Bill relies on your input and knowledge.
Okay.
Thank you. Council does too. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. And hopefully we see you more frequently.
The next item, we'll take a short break here and then come back and go into a regular agenda. Take a break. 5 minute break. One, two, three. We have a forum, so we'll start. The other ones don't want to come in. We're back in regular. We need a motion and a second to return to a regular session.
Move to go back into regular session.
Second.
Moved by Coleman and seconded by Nicholson. Hearing no objection, we are back in the regular session. We are now in the regular session. The person who wants to speak on the regular agenda item must sign up with the city clerk. There's a 3 minute time limit. First item is resolution 2024-36, authorizing the city manager to enter into agreement with Delta Western LLC to deliver fuel and lubricants to the city of Unalaska from August 2024 through June 30th, 2026. We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2024-36.
Move to adopt resolution 2024-36.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Bell. I'll turn this over to the city manager for further information.
Thank you. So this measure is brought forth by Public Works Director Scott Brown. The city of Unalaska released an invitation to bid on June 24th of this year for the supply of fuels and lubricants, with a deadline to submit of August 9th, 2024. To assist the potential bidders, two pre-bid conferences were held on July 8th and on July 31st this year. We received bids from two companies, North Pacific Fuel and Delta Western Fuel. On August 9th, the City of Unalaska closed its invitation to bid for the supply of fuels and lubricants. After the bid period closed, the review team, in consultation with the city attorney, evaluated the submissions and selected Delta Western Fuel as the most qualified and lowest bidder. Delta Western was notified and issued a notice of award on August 14th. Mr. Brown is in the audience. If you have any questions, I'll invite him up.
Right,
my recommendation is to approve. Sorry.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments for city manager on this resolution? Okay. City clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up, and no one in Zoom indicated that they wanted to speak.
Great, thank you. I'll restate the motion. Motion is to adopt resolution 2024-36, authorizing city manager to enter into agreement with Delta Western LLC to deliver fuel and lubricants to the city of Unalaska from August 2024 through June 30th, 2026. Request a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Well, thank you. On a roll call vote of 6 yes and 0 nays, with this vote, the council has adopted resolution 2024-36. Next item is resolution 2024-37, authorizing the city manager to enter into a sole source professional service agreement with the appraisal company of Alaska to perform assessment services for 2025, 2026, and 2027 tax years. I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2024-37.
I move to adopt resolution 2024-37.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Luby. I'll turn this over to city manager.
Thank you. This item is brought forth by us, Carlin Magdong. She's our city clerk, now known as CMC, certified municipal clerk. This is for the appraisal company of Alaska LLC, which has been the city's contracted assessor for the past 38 years. The company has submitted a proposal to continue to perform assessment services for the city for these 3 years, beginning 2025 through 2027. In the past, ACA was awarded the contract on an annual basis after a good faith review that there is only one source for the city's contract assessing needs. Last year's sole source memo is attached for your review. And since this proposed contract spans 3 years, it's been brought forth for council approval as required. I recommend approval.
Okay, thank you. Do I have any questions or comments for city manager on resolution 2024-37? Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious if there's two other agencies that provide these services, why it what makes it that we're there not where we don't want to put it out to bid for, because we have three options. I'm just curious as all. I mean, I know these guys have done it for 38 years and they've done really good for us, and I'm not saying anything. I was just curious of what determined that it would be a sole source versus out to bid.
City clerk.
The state record state assessor's office lists three other or two other entities to do assessment, but they're not in our area, I believe. And then last time we did a bid, only two companies bid, and the appraisal company of Alaska has a far more superior scores than the other ones. And that's why we went ahead with the sole source on this one, because we haven't had much success in proposals from other firms.
Okay, thanks. I was just curious. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Bell.
So the scores on an RFP are from it, or from that would have been from a previous request for proposal, but not a recent one.
Is that the case?
Yes, that's.
If and when we receive proposals.
Okay, I know that it's, there's a certain apprehension with this council on sole sourcing. And if there are multiple companies, that it probably should at least go through the process and not just blanket sole source this, especially since there are other companies that can provide this service. granted, we may end up right back here, but we need to provide the opportunity if there are other companies that can provide the service.
Anyone else?
Okay. Hearing none. We'll have City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment, either by phone or present?
No, sir. No one indicated.
Okay, thank you. Restate the motion, resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into sole source professional agreement with the Appraisal Company of Alaska to perform assessment services for 2025, 26, and 2027 tax years. Resolution 2024-37. Request a roll call vote.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
No.
With the five yeas, yeses, and one no, the result of this vote, the council has adopted resolution 2024-37. This time we have council directives to the city manager. Hearing done. Next item is a community input of announcements. This is a final opportunity to provide information to the council and make announcements.
Yes, hi, Emlyn Crane, USAVE. USAVE will hold our annual Make a Difference Dinner for Suicide Prevention Awareness on Friday, September 27 at the high school small gym from 6 to 8 p.m. Please join us for a delicious, free, and healthy dinner and an opportunity to learn about available community resources and how to help yourself or someone you care about who may be struggling with depression, anxiety, substance abuse, grief, postpartum, or other behavioral health challenges. These issues have touched or will touch every person in this room and every family in our community, and it's essential that we demystify and destigmatize talking about them. And we always have a lot of young people at this event, and it's really important that they see our community leaders at this event so that they know that you take these issues seriously and that you believe it's important to talk about these topics. For more information about the dinner, please call USAVE at 581-1500. I want to share with you that over the last 25 years, USAVE has really worked hard to raise more cash than we expend in an effort to become more financially robust, more sustainable, and more prepared to withstand unforeseen events and the challenges commonly faced by rural nonprofits. We've accumulated a small reserve fund, but because we, like other local nonprofits, also have a small staff, and we are governed by a board of lay people, none of whom are financial experts, I'm afraid that we haven't been very good at putting that money to work for us. But I'm very excited to announce that I reached out to the Alaska Permanent Capital Management team, and despite the fact that we don't currently have enough money in our reserve fund to meet their minimum portfolio requirement, APCM has agreed to take USAVE on as a pro bono client, helping us to invest and grow our reserve without charging us any fees until we do meet that minimum threshold. We feel very, very fortunate to be working with them as they guide USAVE into a more stable financial position, and we wanted to share that news with the City of Unalaska. Thank you to APCM. Finally, on a personal note, we're planning a celebration of life for my husband, Matt Leitner, on Friday, September 13th at 6 p.m. at the high school small gym. I'm sorry, the high school big gym. And I hope people will come and share stories about Matt and then join us at Dusty and Evie Dickerson's house in the valley for a potluck and hopefully some live music. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further announcements and chambers?
I have one, Mayor. We will be doing the certification of, or the canvas committee report, or canvassing of the ballots of the municipal election the Friday after the election date on Tuesday. So that will be at 10 a.m. On October 4th. And so I would need a council member who would be available to participate in canvassing the results. It would have to be, either Mr. Nicholson, Bell, Longo, or Ms. Luby. So if you could please let me know who, if you are available, so we could put that in. On our next council meeting, we'll be certifying, we'll have the election workers resolution, and also I would like to get that ready for that certification too. So if we could, either one of you, let me know if you're available. Again, Friday, October 4 at 10 a.m. It typically lasts just about an hour, 30 minutes to an hour. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And hopefully somebody will, council will step up on that, take that opportunity. I would like, I guess if there's nothing to announce, that UNICE will have their 50th anniversary in Unalaska as a processor. And so on August 31st, 5 to 7. So they've invited many of us, all of us, to attend. Okay, no further announcements? Okay. This time, there being no further announcement, I'll request a motion and a second to go into executive session.
I move to adjourn into executive session to discuss personnel and financial matters related to the PSEA contract negotiations, which is, if discussed in public, might negatively impact the interests of the city. Present in executive session will be the mayor, city council members, police chief Kim Hankins, and fire chief Ben Knowles.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Longo and second by Councilman Tungle. Hearing no objection, we are in executive session at 8:04. Thank you. We're in executive session.